This is Stateside. I'm Cynthia Canty. A neighboring state likes to boast about being the land of 10,000 lakes. But did you know, according to the Department of Natural Resources, there are over 11,000 inland lakes of at least 5 acres in size in the state of Michigan? In fact, the Michigan Historical Society tells us no matter where you go in our state, you're within 6 miles of an inland lake. And these lakes have been a blessing to many a Michigander, from the small lake up north with just a few cottages on it to fully developed lakes without a single open lot available. It's easy to argue Michigan's inland lakes connect us to our state, and they build a foundation of memories that can be passed through the generations. However, disputes about just who is allowed to use inland lakes and in what way have been known to turn lake neighbors into legal combatants. Joining us once again to explore Michigan's water rules is professor of the Wayne State Law School and water law expert Noah Hall. Well, to start things off, Noah, who is allowed to use an inland lake in Michigan?
That's a great and tough question to start out with. Short answer is the riparians, the folks who own property adjacent to the water body along that lake shore, have a property right to use the water body. But the public might also have a right to use the water body as well. If the inland lake is navigable and it has a public access point, the public has a right to use the surface of the water body for navigation, fishing, boating, and pleasure.
If it has a public access point.
If they have a public access point to reach the surface water, exactly.
And not all lakes do.
No, many lakes are surrounded, in effect, fenced by private ownership. So if you have an inland lake that doesn't have any public access point, no park, no road end, also it does not connect to any other water body with a navigable stream, then you have what is, for better or worse, shorthand called a private lake. I still don't like that term because no water in the state of Michigan is truly private. Water is a public good, always. Nobody can ever own the water itself.
Well, how did this get to be with the private lakes where I can't put my boat on it?
It's, in effect, a privately controlled lake because the water is walled off from the public. You don't have any legal way of accessing it. And so the public nature of the water in that circumstance is really, frankly, theoretical.
All right, so let's say I use a public launch, I put my boat into the lake. What can I and what can't I do?
Well, first of all, I would start when you're putting your boat onto a public launch, really coming into any public space that's both shared by other people and shared by nature. I don't think you should really be coming in with the thinking of what can I do and what can't I do, but really, how can I enjoy and how can I leave it better than I found it? So the way to enjoy Michigan's water, of course, boaters know you have to be safe, but there's a million ways you could go out there and enjoy the water. How can you leave it better? There's a lot of simple measures. Most boaters are aware of the things you need to do to protect the water body from bringing invasive species from one water body to another. Just because you are in one clean lake in Michigan and you're coming into another clean lake in Michigan, one of those clean lakes might have had zebra mussels, the other one might have quagga mussels. Take the time to clean your boat before you come in. Follow all the proper protocols in terms of managing your waste. But I think a lot of it goes beyond that. Be aware that you're in a shared environment. Nobody can have the water to themselves. That means you don't get your own personal space, and you also have to realize that your use is going to depend a little bit on how your neighbors are using it.
How close to the shore am I allowed to come before we start getting into property right issues?
You don't have any property right issues in terms of your distance to the shore. You're allowed to navigate the surface of the water body. What you're not allowed to do, though, is create an unreasonable interference with the shoreline property owner's rights.
So I'm the riparian. I have the cottage on the shore.
Right.
And you and your friends.
Most often this is going to come about because of docks. The term riparian actually refers to somebody who owns property on a flowing body of water. If you own property on a lake, you're properly called a littoral owner. Most lawyers and judges have given up the phrase littoral, and we use the term riparian. But a couple of us curmudgeons still think of anybody who owns property on a lake as littoral rather than riparian.
Good point.
I'll try just to swing with riparian. So one of the most important rights that a riparian or a littoral property owner has is the right to wharf out. And this is where you get a lot of contentious disputes and really uncertainty about overlapping rights. As the property owner, you have the right to wharf out. However, that right is only a reasonable right, and it can't interfere with people's navigation on the water body. At the same time, boaters have a right to navigate the water body, but they have to be reasonable, and they can't interfere with your right to wharf out. Very often, this means that you've got not just DNR requirements and regulations, but local zoning requirements and regulations, lake association restrictions on the size, the shape, the distance wharfing out of docks, no wake zones, boat passing lanes. And really, those are just ways of ensuring that everybody is using their rights reasonably. We all share the space. Sometimes you need specific rules to figure out how to share it. Sometimes if it's a small lake with just a few neighbors, they could have informal arrangements and they don't need the cumbersome rules and regulations of an association or municipality.
We're looking at Michigan's water rules. When it comes to inland lakes, as we talk with water law expert Noah Hall, let's switch it up a little. If you own or rent a cottage, are you allowed to walk along the shore? And the reason I ask, it seems that some inland lakes have developed a lake culture, so to speak, where people walking or jogging along the shore is common, it's expected. And then on other lakes, some property owners seem to go to very great lengths to ensure no one can cross their property line. What's the law say?
It's another great, tough question. Well, the only thing that's clear is that the shoreline of the Great Lakes themselves is free and open to the public for beach walking
below
the ordinary
lakes.
High water mark.
Yeah. Okay.
Exactly. Only for the Great Lakes. The Michigan Supreme Court decided that case a few years back. The legal basis for that decision would not apply to inland lakes. The state of Michigan owns the bottomlands of the Great Lakes. The bottomlands of the Great Lakes are not owned by the riparian or littoral property owners along the lakeshore. The state of Michigan owns those bottomlands. For most inland lakes, though, that's not the case. The bottomlands of most inland lakes are owned by the riparian property owners. The exact shape of their ownership of the bottomlands is usually decided using a pretty common sense approach where you basically pick a center point of the lake and draw pie-shaped wedges from your property line to the center of that lake, and that's your chunk.
Okay.
If the lake wasn't made by nature and God in a perfectly round shape, you have to get creative, maybe put several center points, connect them with the meander line. But again, common sense prevails. The key point, though, is that those bottom lands are owned by private landowners, private riparians. And so the shoreline doesn't have the same public rights to it that Great Lakes shorelines has. For most inland lakes, if there's a culture of allowing folks to walk along the shoreline, it really is just that, a culture, not a legal right that anyone has. Now, there is a possibility that for some inland lakes that are directly connected to the Great Lakes, such as Lake Charlevoix, perhaps the rules governing the Great Lakes should apply to those lakes and not the rules that would govern inland lakes.
Because it's connected.
Exactly. It's an open question that the Supreme Court might have to answer at some point down the road.
I have to imagine when you talk about docks and rafts that people would put out in the lake in front of their cottage, it would be trespassing for me to hop onto your dock because it's convenient.
That's correct.
What have been some of the most contentious legal issues that have come up in regards to inland lakes that we've seen, say, in the last decade or so?
You know, in the past decade, I think most of the legal disputes and issues involving inland lakes haven't really pitted neighbor against neighbor, but have been brought by lake associations to protect their lake from environmental threats, pollutants, and new developments. So instead of lake owners seeing themselves as maybe having disputes with their neighbors, instead lake owners, usually through a lake association, see themselves as being collective stewards of a water resource that's not as isolated and maybe private as they once thought. And it's not that it's people from the public are coming in and using it, but it might be pollution from 5 miles away, 50 miles away. It could be development. It could be groundwater extraction. It could be invasive species coming in. It could be alteration of lake levels and flows through dams and other artificial improvements. And we're seeing the lake associations really step up as stewards of Michigan water. And in many ways, lake associations are doing things that, 20 years ago, folks might have thought the Sierra Club would do. But now it's private property owners doing it. And I don't think they're doing it just to protect their investments. I think they're doing it because they realize that a lake and a water body is something special, And owning property along it gives you both an obligation as well as some rights.
Finally, Noah, do you have any advice to an inland lake property owner or a user who's been having issues with neighbors and just doesn't know where to turn? Where do you begin?
Yeah, so the best advice I would give with your neighbors is to keep in mind that the governing rule is one of reasonable use. And it's not whether you're reasonable in your own view or your neighbor's reasonable in her or his own view, but what an objective third person would think about the reasonableness of your positions given the circumstances, your needs, and the water body itself. So the best advice I'd give you if you're having a dispute with your neighbor is bring in somebody outside whose judgment you respect. Sit down with them and with your neighbor maybe and share the circumstances, share the dispute. And you might find that an outside perspective is in many ways going to mirror the same thing you're going to hear from a judge, and you'll save yourself tens of thousands of dollars of legal expenses on the way.
Noah Hall is a professor at Wayne's Law School, where he specializes in environmental and water law, and he's the author of Modern Water Law, Private Property, Public Rights, and Environmental Protections. You have enlightened us, Noah Hall. Thank you so very much.
It's been a pleasure. Now I'm going to go back to the water.